Mom wanted. Long hours, low pay, little time off. Must be willing to work overtime on weekends, holidays, and summer vacations. Energy, imagination, intelligence, endurance, and flexibility required. Must have the ability to lead, instruct, and guide, coupled with a warm and loving, affectionate personality. On-the-job training offered. Much has been said about mothers, amen? Every year we have a Mother's Day, and it falls to me to come up with a message, hopefully that in some way helps us recognize and honor the mothers we have in our midst. It has been said that the joys of motherhood are never more fully experienced until all the children are in bed. How many people would say amen to that? We are told that automation is a process that gets all the work done while you just stand there. When we were younger, this process was called mother. Throughout the ages, no nation has ever had a better friend than the mother who taught her children to pray. Rejecting things because they are old-fashioned would rule out the sun and the moon and a mother's love. It has been said that there are more cards and more gifts by males or given by males, with the exception of Christmas and Valentine's Day on Mother's Day. Mother's Day is a time when more males get involved with giving gifts and cards. In 1914, President Woodrow Wilson proclaimed May 2nd, Sunday, as Mother's Day. As we look at the Bible, we realize that the Bible has a lot to say about mothers. In Genesis chapter 3, we have Eve, and she was called the mother of all the living. In Exodus chapter 2, there was another woman by the name of Jochebed, who was Moses' mom. Anybody remember what she did? When the command was given that all the Hebrew males were to be killed, she made a basket out of papyri and apparently hid him among the reeds of the Nile River. And eventually the princess, or Pharaoh's daughter of Egypt, came along, saw the baby, took pity on him, and brought him up herself. And Moses rose up to be the leader of Israel, leading the people out of Egypt into the promised land. There, of course, was Hannah, who was Samuel's mother, and she was a great mother. She prayed for a child for a long time. The Lord, the Bible says, opened her womb. She gave birth to Samuel, and she dedicated him to the service of the Lord. And he served in the tabernacle with Eli, the high priest, and eventually became one of the greatest prophets Israel has ever known. There was a woman by the name of Eunice, and we hear of her in 2 Timothy, which is in the New Testament. And she was the mother of Timothy, one of the early leaders of the church. And of course, as we saw already, we read Proverbs chapter 31, which is called the noble wife, the one who all would rise and call her blessed. And probably the most famous mother of all is Mary, the mother of Jesus, a godly woman, but a woman who needed to be saved just like everybody else needed to be saved. And God used her to be the female individual that would raise the Lord Jesus Christ up as a human being. We recognize that not all women are mothers. Not all women apparently are called to be mothers, but we do take time today to honor those who have received such a calling. So how have you received, or how have you honored your mother this holiday season? Well, have you given her flowers, cards, chocolates, hugs and kisses? The list could go on in all the different ways that we tend to honor our mothers. And what are some other ways that we can take that same love towards our mother and demonstrate to her how much we do care for them? That we do care for these special ladies that we know as mothers. And this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to give us some ways in which we can honor our mothers this Mother's Day season. And maybe some of you have already done this, but this kind of goes beyond the flowers and the candies and the cards and the gift certificates and whatever else we do. And it goes into some other more personal ways that we can honor our mothers. The first is to honor them and to respect them. Honor them and to respect them. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the Bible says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." And again, we recognize that this is one of the Ten Commandments. I mean, this is not one of the Ten Suggestions. It is a command that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. And there's a command with a promise. What's the promise? You do this and you will live long. There's a tendency to live longer if you listen to your parents. In most cases, if your parents are telling you, this is the way you're supposed to live, this is what you're supposed to be doing, these are the things that you need to remember. You need to be doing this, that, and the other thing. And sometimes as kids, we get kind of sick and tired of it. But if we actually listen to it and actually do it, in most cases, people tend to live longer. If we honor our parents, we honor our mothers, we will receive a blessing. If we don't honor them, we won't. So many people, so many situations, you've probably all heard of this, come to the end of their lives, and they look back over their own life and how they've lived and the mistakes they've made and the way they may have wasted time and energy. They say to themselves, or maybe they even verbalize this, "If only I had listened to my mother." In the Bible, we know that this is one of the Ten Commandments. It is not, as I said, one of the Ten Suggestions. It is a command. It is an imperative. It is given by God. And we must never forget where we lived for the first 9 months of our lives. We lived inside our mother's bodies. And you women, obviously, that have had babies or maybe going to have a baby know exactly what I'm talking about. You know, mothers generally provide most of the care for the infants. Usually when the child is born, it's the mother that gets up at night and feeds it, especially if it's breastfeeding, and burps it, and changes the baby, and is worried about the baby. And I recognize there's no such thing as a perfect mom. We recognize that some mothers are imperfect and they have problems, but God wants us to honor them and to respect them, no matter who they are, but because of their position in our lives. We honor them not because of their perfection or lack of perfection, but because God has placed them in our lives and he commands us to do so. One writer in talking about mothers says this to say. He says, "Perhaps mothers should come with a maintenance agreement, which provides for a complete overhaul every 5 years, 3 kids, or 300,000 miles, whichever comes first. Here are several points which ought to be included. Number one, fuel. While most mothers will run indefinitely on hot coffee, pizza, and hamburgers, an occasional gourmet meal for two in elegant surroundings will add immeasurably to increased efficiency. So guys, got to think about that. Motor. A mother's motor is probably one of the most dependable anywhere. A mother can start and reach top speed from a prone position at a single cry from a sleeping child. To keep that motor at peak efficiency, regular brakes are recommended. A leisurely bath and nap every 1,000 miles and a 2-week live-in sitter every 100,000 miles will do wonders. Battery. Batteries should be recharged regularly. Roses, candies, or other thoughtful and unexpected gifts often do the trick. Chassis. A mother operates best when her chassis is properly maintained. Her wardrobe should be changed as needed every fall and spring. Regular exercise should be encouraged and provided for. A complete change of hairdo and makeup should be part of the regular maintenance. When the chassis begins to sag, there are a number of possible remedies, including racquetball and Weight Watchers. Tune-ups. Mothers need regular tune-ups. Compliments are both the cheapest and most appreciated. By following these simple instructions, the average mother would last a lifetime, providing love and caring to those who need her the most. So these are things that one writer has suggested that we do for our mothers. You know, and certainly we can think about that and maybe even do some of those things today. This Mother's Day, come up with some very creative and exciting ways. by showing love and honor and respect for our mothers. So that's the first thing that we can do this Mother's Day for our mothers, is to honor them and to respect them. The second thing, the second approach, is to listen to them. How many of you have heard the expression, "Now you listen to your mother"? Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever said that? Probably a lot of people. "I'm your mother, and I'm speaking to you, and you need to listen to me." And the kid's kind of rolling his eyes, you know. Yeah. But Scripture is filled with godly counsel, advice, etc., regarding the raising of children. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. "What I call to remembrance, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Now, this is Paul writing to Timothy. And Timothy was Paul's disciple. Timothy came to the Lord through the ministry of the Apostle Paul, but there was a foundation which had been laid early in his life. And his mother, Eunice, and the grandmother, Lois, had worked together to acquaint Timothy with the Old Testament scriptures. And so when Paul came along and presented Jesus Christ, it was natural that Timothy would receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, because he already had that background, that foundation in the Old Testament. And as you know, the Old Testament points to Christ in so many different ways and in so many different places. He grew up, Timothy's name meant one who fears God, and he grew up in a household where he was taught the Holy Scriptures from infancy, which are able to make wise for salvation through faith in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Timothy was taught the Old Testament Scriptures. He was prepared spiritually for one day when Paul would present him with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Basically, the scripture records that he got saved, and he ended up being a pastor at the church of Ephesus. You know, think about this for just a moment, particularly if you're a young person. You know, if your mother is trying to instruct you in the Word of God, and this is a wonderful opportunity that you're getting to hear from her the truth of God's Word. So we would encourage you not to blow that off, not to roll your eyes, but just to listen to it and think about it. Because there will be a day when that counsel will come back to you when you need it the most. The verses will be there and when you need them. Abraham Lincoln. Now, there's a debate about Abraham Lincoln, whether or not he was actually a born-again Christian. A lot of people think he was. I heard James Kennedy preaching once on Abraham Lincoln, and he thinks that there's significant historical evidence to say that he was a born-again Christian. I don't think he grew up a born-again Christian. He became one later on in life. Other people say, well, he was really only a deist. I incline to think that he really was a Christian. At least I hope he was. He makes this comment about his mother. He says, "Everything I have and ever hope to be is a result of my dear mother." And there's so many of us, I'm sure, that as we look back over our lives, we say, you know, Mom wasn't perfect, but a lot of the good qualities that I have come from my mother. And we can express some appreciation for the roles that our mothers have played in our lives. You know, one writer wrote something called "When God Made Moms." This is kind of humorous. I think you'll enjoy this. Let me read it to you. "By the time the Lord made mothers, he was into his sixth day of working overtime. An angel appeared and said, 'Why are you spending so much time in this one?' And the Lord answered and said, 'Have you seen the spec sheet on her? She has to be completely washable, but not plastic, have 200 movable parts, all replaceable, run on black coffee and leftovers, and have a lap that can hold 3 children at one time and disappears when she stands up, have a kiss that can cure anything from a scraped knee to a broken heart, and have 6 pairs of hands.' The angel was astonished at the requirements for this one." 6 pairs of hands? "No way," said the angel. The Lord replied, "Oh, it's not just the hands that are the problem. It's the 3 pairs of eyes that mothers must have." "And that's just the standard model?" the angel asked. The Lord nodded in agreement. "Yep, 1 pair of eyes to see through the closed doors as she asks her children what they are doing, even though she already knows. Another pair in the back of her head are to see what she needs to know, even though no one thinks she can. And a 3rd pair are here in front of her head. They are looking at an errant child and saying that she understands and loves him or her without even saying a single word." The angel tried to stop the Lord. That is too much work for one day. Wait till tomorrow to finish. But I can't, the Lord protested. I am so close to finishing this creation that it's so close to my own heart. She already heals herself when she is sick and can feed a family of six on a pound of hamburger and can get a 9-year-old to stand in the shower. She is so soft, the angel said as he moved closer and touched the woman. She is soft, the Lord agreed, but I have also made her tough. You have no idea what she can endure or accomplish. Will she be able to think? Asked the angel. The Lord replied, not only will she be able to think, she will be able to reason and negotiate. The angel then noticed something and reached out and touched the woman's cheek. Oops, it looks like you have a leak with this one, with this model. I told you that we're trying to put too much into them. That's not a leak, the Lord objected. That's a tear. What's the tear for? The angel asked. The Lord said, the tear is her way of expressing her joy, her sorrow, her disappointment, her pain, her loneliness, her grief, and her pride. The angel was impressed. You are a genius, Lord. You thought of everything, for women are truly amazing. And all God's people said, amen. So what do we need to do? We need to listen to our mothers. You know, remember their counsel and to take seriously the words of encouragement and admonition that they give us. Number three, what's the third thing that we can do that would help our mothers immensely on this Mother's Day? The third one is to take care of them. Take care of them. Mothers are people, and they, even though they're usually primary caregiver in a home, sometimes they need to be taken care of. Each of us owe a debt, in most cases, for their care of their mother. I mean, I realize there are different kinds of situations, and some mothers are not able, for one reason or another, to provide very much care, but typically speaking, a lot of the care we get, especially the physical care, comes from our mother. They gave us physical life to begin with. We lived inside their womb for 9 months, where they protected us and they nurtured us, and we took nourishment from their bodies and we used that to help us grow. I'd like you to turn with me for just a second to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2, back at the beginning of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus. I'm just going to read to you verses 1 to 10. This obviously is a familiar story to a lot of you, I'm sure. Starting in verse 1. And a man from the house of Levi went and married a daughter of Levi. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was beautiful, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a wicker basket and covered it over with tar and pitch. Then she put the child into it and set it among the reeds by the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to find out what would happen to him. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the Nile with her maidens walking alongside the Nile, and she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid and brought it to her. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And she had pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women so that she may nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, go ahead. So the girl went and called the child's mother. Then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." You see what's happened? The mother put her own child in the wicker basket to save it from being killed, obviously, by the Egyptians. In the providence of God, what happens? Pharaoh's daughter, who apparently liked babies, came down and saw this beautiful baby and actually ended up hiring Moses' mother to be a wet nurse. So she got to work with him a little bit longer, and there came a day, and apparently this was part of the agreement, that he would be brought back to Pharaoh's daughter, and she would raise him in Pharaoh's court until the time when he became a man. Turn with me now, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Starting starting in verse 23. Hebrews 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. See, the king's edict was that all the male babies were to be turned over to be killed. And by faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn would not touch them. They'll stop there. Well, you see the rest of the story, don't you? Remember how Moses came and rejected living among the Egyptians, where he could have been a very powerful person, maybe even a ruler, and he actually threw his lot in with his own Hebrew people and ended up leading Israel out of Egypt into the direction of the promised land. So as you look at this, what's the situation here? The mother took care of the child. The mother came up with a plan. The mother did whatever it was she needed to do to make sure that her child would be okay. And so many of our mothers have done whatever they have needed to do, whether it was staying up late at night, whether it was sacrificing things that they wanted to do and places they wanted to go and activities they wanted to be involved in. They took care of us. They met our legitimate needs, and we owe them. And we need to work to make sure that their needs are met as well. In the December 31st, 1989 Chicago Tribune, the editors printed their photos of the decade. One of them by Michael Fryer captured a grim fireman and a paramedic carrying a fire victim away from the scene. The blaze, which happened in Chicago in December of 1984, at first seemed routine. But then firefighters discovered the bodies of a mother and 5 children huddled in the kitchen of an apartment. Fryer said the firefighters surmised that she could have escaped with 2 or 3 children, but couldn't decide whom to pick. She chose to wait with all of them for the firefighters to arrive, and all of them died of smoke inhalation. And the article concludes by saying, there are times when you just don't leave those whom you love. Our mothers have taken care of us. Our mothers have put themselves on the line for us, and we need to take care of themselves. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. So what do? We take care of our mothers. We make sure that their needs are provided for. Number 4, what else do we do? We also express appreciation for our mothers. How many of us express appreciation to our mothers on a consistent basis? How often do we say, Mom, we thank you for everything that you do around the house and the way you help us get places where we need to get and all the things that you sacrificed in order to make sure that we had the things that we needed growing up. It probably happens, but maybe it doesn't happen as often as it should. We need to be sure to do it more. One writer put it this way, said, when I began to recognize faces, one face always smiled at me with eyes that danced with laughter. I called her Mom. When I started walking around the house on shaky feet, hardly able to hold me up, someone with a smile in her eyes always caught me. I called her Mom. When I came home late, someone always met me at the door with relief and love in her eyes, and there were Moms. And when I asked Jesus to take back control of my life, those eyes overflowed with love and joy. Thank you, Mom. So take time to express appreciation to your mom today for the things that she did in your life. And finally, number 5, what else can we do for Mom? We can pray for them. Do we pray for our mothers? That's the question that we need to ask ourselves. They may very well have prayed for us. Certainly, if they were Christian, they would have prayed for us. Women are under incredible pressure in this day and age. Women are told all kinds of things. Some of these things are contradictory that women are told. They are told, first of all, that they need to go out and they need to make a living. Okay, number one. Number two, they're told that they need to keep their kids under control. Okay, but they're to do this without spanking. That's kind of the new thing now. Spanking is becoming illegal. And it probably will be illegal here in the near future. They're told that they need to be available to their husbands and meet their husbands' needs. Then they're told they don't really need men. They're told that they need to be a total woman and they need to have it all. And there just aren't enough hours in the day for mothers to do all the things that their culture seems to suggest that they need to do. Augustine talked about his mother and talked about the fact that he had a mother that prayed for him. How many of you know a little bit about Augustine? He was an early church father. He was somewhat of a libertine, I guess you could call him. He pretty much was a playboy. Women, wine, and song. And he had a mother, and her name was Monica, and Monica used to pray for her boy. And in his writings, he confessed the debt owed to his mother, who was a Christian mother. He was not a Christian for many, many years. And she prayed for him, and eventually, under the ministry of someone called Ambrose, and this is way back in the early church, he came to Christ, and he was reunited with his mother as a Christian prior to her death. John Wesley had a mother named Susanna. Susanna had 19 children. Can you imagine 19 children? 10 of them lived. 9 of them did not. This was an age when infant mortality was very, very high, and probably about half the kids died, you know, either during childbirth or shortly thereafter. She had 10 children. She taught them the duty of love to God and man, and she taught the necessity of personal holiness and of prayer and of self-denial and the need to bend one's will to the will of God, to obey God. And she made a great impact on John Wesley. Most of us know that John Wesley was a tremendous believer and had great impact, particularly over in England and also in the American colonies. And, you know, we think of Wesleyans and Methodists, and, you know, that's all started back with John Wesley and his brother Charles. And who was the mother that influenced all that? It was Susanna. So our mothers most likely have prayed for us, and so we need to remember to pray for them as well. Mother's Day. Today belongs to Mother. Make her happy, make her day, just by telling her that you love her in some special little way. There is no one more deserving of the kindness you may show, for her life is spent in serving all your many needs you know. Though at times her role is straining and she's always underpaid, seldom is she heard complaining. That's the way a mother's made. She has little time for pleasure. For herself she asks no wealth. Only one desire she treasures, for your faith, success, and health. She'll appreciate your flowers and the gifts you send her way, but the one that most inspires is your love on Mother's Day. So how do we show them love? First of all, we honor them and we respect them. Second of all, we listen to them. Thirdly, we take care of them. Fourthly, we express appreciation for them. And finally, the last one, number 5, is to pray for them. Now, as we leave the auditorium today after our last hymn, just remember there will be some flowers in the back. And all the ladies, particularly who are mothers, are asked to take one of those. We'll make sure that they get one. And if someone could maybe go back real quick and let Children's Church know that we need some of the kids that were going to be volunteering to pass out the flowers, that would be very helpful. So let me pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning, and we do thank you for Mother's Day. We thank you for the mothers that we have in our midst. Lord, we pray that you would help them to feel loved, that you would help us to honor and bless them. And Lord, we pray that we could be a church where parents are truly respected and listened to. And Lord, that you would help us to treat them in the way that they deserve. We thank you for taking care of us, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.